Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm very glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to say that there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for Christmas music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Even though that's going on right now, we do have our eyes focused ahead on the upcoming season of The Sounds of Christmas, which starts its 15th season on November 1st. And my guests today are also celebrating a 15-year milestone in 2021. Steve Everett and Todd Elmore are joining me on today's podcast. Both are members of Rock by the Sea. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
For those who don't know, Rock by the Sea is an organization that puts together music festivals and events to raise money to assist deserving charities who provide direct services to those in need. Every Rock by the Sea event is an intimate showcase of music designed to bring people together for the love of music and the common goal of helping these charities. And it's so cool that in 15 years, you guys are approaching the $1 million mark. That is amazing. Very cool.
Thank you. It's quite rewarding as well.
The Christmas CDs are how I came across Rock by the Sea. Rock by the Sea started a couple years before the first one came out. I guess, Todd, we'll start with you and then move to Steve. How long have you been with Rock by the Sea?
I was trying to figure that out. And I think the answer is either 12 or 13 years, because I started the compilation series as a byproduct. You know, the board members, everyone involved with Rock by the Sea is a volunteer. It's 100%. Volunteer people from all different walks of life who all have a common interest, which is music and philanthropy. So I was asked to join the board several years prior and couldn't for, a couple of different reasons. But when the opportunity presented itself, I did. And so each of the board members is sort of tasked with coming up with a fundraising idea or concept or event. And so for me, it was the compilation series. I had done some previously. I came out of the label system, the music label system, and had spearheaded some Christmas compilations for the label. And so it seemed like a natural fit. And, we talked a little bit before the recording started about transitioning from CD to streaming and some of the other consumer ways of getting music. And so in the early days of the compilation CD, CD sales were a significant part of the revenue stream. Not so much anymore. We sort of looked to sponsorships and even other sort of royalty streams through Sirius XM or through television placements or things like that, where it really helps us raise a lot of money.
Through the Sounds of Christmas, I'm connected to lots of Christmas music blog sites. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of people out there who want the hard copies, who still want those CDs.
Well, and we still make them and we still sell them. So if you want to go to rockbythesea.bandcamp.com, you can order the physical copies of this year's CD as well as the ones that remain from the catalog. We have sold out of certain versions, which we haven't reprinted.
Now, and of course, the Christmas CDs, that's how I came to know Rock by the Sea. While Rock by the Sea and the Sounds of Christmas both started the same year, the Christmas CDs started a couple years later. And it's always great to come across new artists that you may or may not have heard of, or names that you know, doing Christmas songs you love, or doing something original. The whole thing is just really cool, and that you've been able to sustain it year after year. Volume 12 is coming up. Is there a specific release date for that?
It's October 12th. I don't know when this is airing, but it may have already come out.
Okay. If it hasn't come out yet, it is coming out any day now. Check your streaming sites or check the Bandcamp site. Anything you can tell us about this year's release?
Well, you know, it's we get music from a variety of sources. At first, it was really just my circle of friends, or even the charity's circle of friends, which is how Steve got involved. Steve, how many? Two or three songs on the series? I forget.
Yeah, I've done three of them, and I write mine each time just so we don't have to pay any licensing fees.
That's helpful too. That is also helpful as well. So, you know, it started the first year or two was really me reaching out to friends or friends of the charity or through other board members. And, you know, hey, do you know anyone has a Christmas song? And some of it is just, you know, like Steve just mentioned, some of it is custom. Like this year we have a Run Katie Run is a group here out of Atlanta, and they wrote a song exclusively for our record. So it's exclusive to us. It was written for the charity. And as Steve mentioned, they donate it to us so that we don't have to go out of pocket to pay for licensing, which we do on other songs. There are lots of songs that we have to pay the licensing for, which is fine. Also, the Farleys, which is a husband and wife team out of Madison, Wisconsin. Mike Farley is a music publicist, and I've hired him over the years to help publicize different projects that I've been involved in. And he uncovered a song that he had written in college, a Christmas song that he'd written in college, but never recorded it. And he recorded it this year exclusively for our record.
I also noticed on this year's release, you have a song by the band Death on Two Wheels. And if I remember right, those guys gave, I did a couple Christmas releases 10, 11 years ago, and they gave me a version, I think, of Little Drummer Boy, and they've got Blue Christmas for You. That's really cool. I'm glad that they're still around.
Well, it's funny that you should say that. They're not still around. That version of Blue Christmas is most likely from the same session that they did when you had them on your series, which is another little trick of mine. Is I dig through my own personal archives. Before we started our conversation, Ken, you and I were talking about our affinity for Christmas music. I've collected Christmas music for forever. And like I mentioned, even working with the labels, I was always an advocate. You know, it's a weird thing. I use Christmas music now as a charity piece. But when I was at the record companies, I identified that there was this sort of downtime between Thanksgiving and New Year's, where really no new music was being released, no new tours were happening. No, there was nothing that was continuing to help promote and market the artist. And so that was the catalyst for me at that time was, hey, why don't we put together some Christmas songs from these artists, and it'll just keep them top of mind while everything else is just shutting down. Because Ken, you came out of radio, you know, the industry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, shuts down. So that was really the inspiration there. And so I dig through the archives, and Death on Two Wheels and Birdhead, both of those are friends of mine that used to be in bands that are no longer in bands. And they were like, yeah, I've got this old Christmas song from 10 years ago. If you want it, I'll give it to you. So in that way, it's an old song, but it's new to Spotify and it's new to Apple.
Oh, sure.
It's, you know, it's a new release in that context.
I think what Todd's done and really special job with is just, you know, through the radio promotions and then through Todd's, you know, connections and network from his, you know, over his career, we've been able to get, you know, usually one of these songs each year on Sirius XM onto the Acoustic Coffee House radio station. And that's been fantastic for just visibility and just getting a lot of people, you know, through that driven to our Rock by the Sea, Spotify, you know, and Apple Music platforms, and that those plays have really like skyrocketed above just the regular ones. So Todd really has done a great job of getting eyes on this record for sure.
With volume 12 now, either depending when anybody's listening to this podcast, either just about out or it's out now, how far ahead do you start planning for volume 13? Or do you not even want to think about that now?
Well, I have a sort of a saying of sorts, because I'm always out, you know, soliciting songs. And there's a lot of artists that have over the years, oh man, I really want to do it. I keep meaning to get to it, whatever. And so my answer is always, I have it on good authority that there will be a Christmas next year.
Yeah.
And so there are some artists, I'd say there's probably about a 10 or 12 acts that have come to mind right now that I've been chasing for 2 or 3 years for one reason or another. And the planets just don't align. They can't get to the studio. They're on tour, whatever the reason is. It's not bad or negative. It just hasn't happened. So the answer is I'm always looking for songs, always. And, I do an outreach. I mentioned the Farleys and my buddy Mike, who's a publicist. One of the songs on this year's release is Bob Malone. It's an original song. Now, he had released it a couple of years ago, so it's not new or exclusive to us, but it will be new to our audience. It will be new to the Rock by the Sea audience and the people that have sort of followed the series. And Bob Malone came to me through Mike Farley. I had said to him, any of your clients, he has all these other clients. So that's sort of my methodology. I go through the board members, because they're always, all of the board members, they're friends with tons of bands. We're putting together little series. I say little, but we're putting together our smaller festivals. We've got Put in Bay, which is next week or this week in Ohio. And so the board members that sort of spearhead that event, well, they're in communication with those artists. And so part of my process is, hey, ask them if they got a Christmas song. So it's ongoing. The answer to your question is always and ongoing.
Steve, how did you get connected to Rock by the Sea?
I was fortunate enough. I was in bands for years and just kind of ran out of friends to be in bands with. So I went solo in 2011 and, made a record and spent a year on the road with this guy named Michael Tolcher, who had a major label debut in the 2000s with Octone Records, which, got absorbed. And it was kind of him, Gavin DeGraw, and Maroon 5 that all, got signed by Octone at the same time, and they were all out on tour together as Maroon 5 blew up. And so that's kind of how I found out about Tolcher in the 2000s, and I just really loved his stuff. And he didn't kind of have the explosive takeoff of a career that the other two enjoyed, and so I kind of saw him live, didn't hear from him for a while, and then he got out of his deal and started touring again. And I just kind of approached him and I was like, man, I think I could be a good sideman for you, just kind of playing some acoustic guitar and singing some harmonies and just kind of be another person up there to make the show go. And so he went for it. And so I spent that year on the road with him, and it was great. Introduced me to a lot of venues and venue managers all over the country. And one of those shows we opened up for one of our bands that plays Rock by the Sea every year out of Cincinnati called Green Light Morning. And their lead singer, Aaron Patrick, was the lead singer of a band called Oval Opus that had some label love in the 2000s as well. And just a bunch of connected guys. And so they let me open up because the two ladies who had founded Rock by the Sea, Beth Gosnell, who's our president, and Gail Harkins, who's no longer with us, but she was the vice president of Rock by the Sea up until that was my gig. And but basically we met that night and just kind of hit it off. They invited me down to the flagship event in May. And I just, fell in love with the group, loved the cause, of course. And a lot of the musicians were people that I knew and had crossed paths with. And so I think I just played with Michael Tolcher that event. And then the next year they invited me back and asked me to MC and play. And then by the next year, they just needed help finding production people to do, stage sound and lights. And, I was pretty comfortable with contracting artists and working with agents and stuff like that. So as they were trying to scale it up and get the best prices they could for artists and really just have somebody who was on the inside currently, who knew a lot of people and could just make things happen quickly, And so, yeah, that was my arc. And, I was the MC and I was like, happy to do it. And then I was on the board and I was just helping with contracts, happy to do it. And then they were like, hey, you're the vice president now.
Now, a lot of what Rock by the Sea does are it's put together these music festivals. I would imagine that's been really difficult the last year and a half.
Yes, certainly. And we had a home for a lot of years in St. George Island, Florida, which is in the Panhandle, kind of a beach club called Harry A's. And they had been there for 30 years, and Hurricane Michael came through and put it under, you know, 10 feet of standing water and just really decimated that community. And so we had to get real creative for the next event and find a new home on short notice. And that was kind of, you know, all up in the air. And then, you know, had some the owner of the building passed away, the owner of the business passed away. And it was just this giant up and down thing. I was bringing it up just to illustrate that we had already had kind of a rough go. And then, you know, 2020 was supposed to be the year that things went back to normal. And then obviously that wasn't the case. And so what we did was we kind of invested in some high quality streaming equipment for the charity. And we did the very first Rock by the Stream in May of 2020. And we still were able to raise about $25,000 just via that streaming event. And we had all of our artists just kind of, you know, record the best they could, their sets. And then we kind of live broadcasted in between each set. But it was our community still, you know, was there for us. And then since then, as things have kind of opened back up, but with masking and different, you know, social requirements, we've had two events now that we haven't had any, you know, positive COVID cases come out of. And we've been really careful about, you know, different capacities for the shows and the rooms, and then also just making sure everybody knows all the precautions.
And you've got, like Todd mentioned, Rock by the Sea Put in Bay, that's in Ohio, coming up this week. It's coming up mid-October, depending on when you're listening to this. And then There's a Christmas event that's in Nashville in December. Is that all that's on the schedule right now, or is there other stuff brewing that not ready to admit to, or can't quite?
That's the only two things that are confirmed and have, you know, tickets for sale at the moment are Rock by the Sea Put in Bay, Ohio, which is the 13th through the 15th, and then December 4th on a Saturday we're in Nashville where I live here at the Hot Watt, which is we do it every year there now. And it's become a really fun evening. We've got some local folks. There's going to be a whole lot of guest appearances. I've just kind of asked a lot of friends. And it's going to be fun. We've got a girl who's given us Christmas songs, Leah Bell Fazer. She's going to be there. And actually, I think most of the artists on the bill have contributed or are planning to contribute to the Christmas record. So it's just a fun time for us to all get together. And again, like Todd's saying, you know, find a way during the Christmas season to, you know, to still get some visibility for Rock by the Sea and for our charities, and also raise a little bit of money.
I know when we talk charities, people want to know where the money goes. I know there's not a one or two specific charities that that Rock by the Sea donates to, but can you sort of, and I'm not sure which one of you is better to talk about this, about how you pick charities and who's involved and that kind of thing?
Totally. So our founder, president, Beth Gosnell, you know, has been, her life has been touched by cancer with family members, just as most people's have. But she early on had a real soft spot for pediatric brain cancer. And so we have given, I would say the lion's share of the money we've given out has been to pediatric cancer research and treatment. So right now we're focusing on the Dr. Mitchell is the man's name who runs the lab, but it's the Brain Tumor Immunotherapy Program at the University of Florida. And they basically work on glioblastomas, which is the brain tumor that, you know, took John McCain's life. And it was 100% fatal in children under 12 up until about 8 years ago when this lab started. And so we were able to, you know, identify this opportunity. They don't get a lot of funding from, you know, the massive programs that companies like St. Jude or the Arnold Palmer, you know, Children's Cancer Center in Orlando, you know, they get hundreds of millions of dollars in funding. But this lab was kind of an upstart and a really, you know, groundbreaking technology using this immunotherapy. And so they've been able to do these clinical trials that have been getting approved over the last year, actually, which has been really exciting. And it costs about $60,000 for a kid to go through one of these clinical trials. And so we've averaged, I think, 1.5 kids that we've been able to pay for to go through the clinical trial every year for the past 6 years. And then apart from that, we give annually to a group called Camp Sunshine, which is a summer camp for kids and their families if they're going through cancer treatments or a few other choice disabilities that kind of preclude them from going to a normal summer camp experience. And it lets them have nurses on staff and just has a lot of care around the clock so that they can kind of have a more normal experience finally after all the struggles they've been through. But it's mostly those charities. And then some of our smaller events, we'll pick a local charity. So for Christmas, I've been in contact with Hope Kids, which is a kind of a similar thing to Camp Sunshine, but they just offer resources for families who are having a child that's being treated for cancer, where maybe St. Jude, you know, they only let you come in and they have a great network, but it's for a few specific diseases that they're currently, you know, studying and treating. And if you kind of don't fall into that under that umbrella, there's some people who can't get resources. And so Hope Kids really focuses on the people who can't get St. Jude or a number of other government programs and still need care and need help. And so that's who we're partnering with for December 4th.
I also noticed, and by the way, you can find out a lot about this if you go to rockbythesea.org. Charities is one of the choices that you can click on, so you can see where your money is going to go to. And several of the organizations that Steve just mentioned are on there. I also want to mention the PKD Foundation, Polycystic Kidney Disease. I have a friend, a good friend, who's been touched by that. They do great work helping people. And this is a very difficult thing. And I don't know if this is connected to any one particular event or release that that you guys have, that you're connected to that, or if that's just part of what you do.
The board actually meets to discuss where the contributions will go. So the Christmas CD has never had a singular focus. So that money goes into a pool, and then as a board, we divvy up the money. But there are certain events. One of the charities that Steve didn't mention that is sort of unique to St. George Island is the Franklin County Library. You know, so it doesn't even have to be. The majority of our outreach is pediatric cancer, as he said. We will find small other organizations that are in need, and we'll earmark some money for them. And even some of our artists have gone and played in some of the hospitals. You know, we've had the artists even participate with the kids and in other ways.
And I also want to mention that if you're listening to this and you're touched by this, and I hope that at least some of you are, when you go to the rockbythesea.org website, you click on charities, there's a donate now button that you can just go boom and make a donation of whatever amount works for you. It's not something predetermined.
And we'll also take a donation subscription if you're so inclined, where you can just give us a little money every month.
We call it the NPR model, the sustaining membership.
One other thing I noticed, and I don't know how new this is, something you're doing called Right by the Sea. That's right with a W, W-R-I-T-E. What's Right by the Sea about?
Yeah, there's kind of a really similar group. If it was a Venn diagram, these circles would be pretty close to each other. Community that Sister Hazel, the Florida-based rock band, huge 90s success with the song All For You, went platinum. Todd's had a lot of dealings with them over the years, and they're really good buddies. And we just kind of all have existed in their orbit. And this community has been greatly strengthened by Sister Hazel and their efforts on a thing called the Rock Boat, which is a music festival cruise that goes out every year for the last 21 years, I think. And so our founder, Beth, has been on all of those and has found a lot of bands through that community.
The Rock Boat event spawned a concept called the Rock Boat was created by a business called Sixth Man, and Sixth Man created the Sixth Man Sessions. And so what they would do is on these rock boats, they would get artists to come in and record acoustic or, you know, collaborate together, you know, different artists collaborating together, sort of on the spot, you know, spontaneous. And they would then release those promotionally, call them the Sixth Man Sessions. So Beth came back and said, let's try a variation of that, our own version of that, which became Right by the Sea. And so and Steve has participated and been an artist. You know, he's mentioned that he's an artist, but I think it's worth mentioning that not only is he a board member, but he's a songwriter, a recording artist, a touring musician. And so we got 8 or 10 songwriters. We put them in a beach house for a week with a producer and an engineer. And over the course of that week, they would then write and record a full album of original music. And so that is the genesis of Right by the Sea and sort of. Now, of course, 2020, we had to do it virtually. It wasn't in a beach house for a week. It was a virtual endeavor where, you know, the singer would Dropbox the vocals to the engineer, and the bass player would Dropbox the bass to the engineers. And, you know, there was a whole lot of studio digital wizardry related to volume three of Right by the Sea. But the first two volumes were, as mentioned, where you just get in a room, you write a song, you record it, and you put the record out. And they've both been, all three of them have been greatly received. And again, it just helps us further the visibility of the charity. It helps us further the visibility of these artists, many of whom you might know. Some of these guys, Keith Kane's a good example. He's on the most recent Right by the Sea release. Keith is in Vertical Horizon. You might not know Keith Kane by name. You might even not know Vertical Horizon by name, but you know their music. If you heard their songs, you'd be like, "All right, those guys."
Todd, is there anything that that you can think of that we've missed or that you want to mention about Rock by the Sea that we haven't talked about?
No, I think you've covered most of the bases, right? It's a community of music fans. It's a community of philanthropic hearts. We're always looking for new people to join the group, come to our events, purchase our music. If you're a musician and you're hearing this podcast and you're like, "I want to be involved," and you know, hit us up and write us a song and we'll put you on a Christmas record.
And you can find out all the contact info and anything else you want to know if you go to rockbythesea.org. All of the music is there. You can click on any one of the Christmas albums or the Right by the Sea albums, or I think there's also a country collection. You can click on all of those and it goes to the Bandcamp page, so you can listen to some of it and you can download it right there. And you have all your questions answered there. Find out all about the charities, and you can email these guys if you want to be part of it. Steve and Todd, thanks very much for joining us and giving up part of your afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot, Ken. This was a pleasure.
And thank you for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. We're on about 24 different podcasting sites. And since you're listening to this now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And that website is www.soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station, to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through our website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.